Welcome to the Divided Kingdom Evening News Program. We're coming to you live on Global Star Radio Network, Tuesday, January 23rd. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Coppett Caverly. And listeners of the Divided Kingdom, we want to give a little update. We were very concerned about our friend, the Pennsylvania doctor. We had not heard from him, and we asked you to pray for him. And he has now gotten in touch, and he has confirmed that he again had COVID. So he says he's starting to feel better, so do keep him in prayers. And we haven't mentioned Dr. Dennis Cuddy for a while. We hadn't been hearing from him. Since we sent him a Christmas box, and then through another wonderful listener, Mike, found out that he now has gone off the wound pump. And that was an excruciating ordeal in which I don't remember how many times a week, but they had to go in and pump out these deep, deep injuries in his legs from the car wreck. And it was just terribly harmful. They would get the old tissue out. And we thought this went on just in an abominably long time, months of this, with this wound pump. So finally that has ended. But now as the nerves begin to regenerate, he's just in horrendous pain. Up at night, I think he probably has screaming pain. And I well know what that's like when I had trigeminal facial neuralgia twice in my life. There's nothing like nerve pain. So do pray for him, and we hope that one day he can return and we can interview him again. And again, we give great thanks to God Almighty for relieving Lou and me of a great worry that went on almost 4 months, 3.5 months, four and a half months, I think, really. So, Lou, you have news to report.
Yes, I sure do. Thanks to all your great prayers, all your wonderful prayers. Those of you out there, God Almighty was very merciful and kind to me. And after my medical checkup yesterday, I found I'm completely back to normal.
Hallelujah.
So, thank you all. Praise Jesus.
Yes, we do. And so now yes, we do want to mention again, if any of you did not hear our program, it was probably January 18th with Angel Marie with her new book, Soulless Society. We hope you will go into our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com and listen to that program. There were bombshell revelations about the origin of Hollywood and how British intelligence began, elements like Tavistock and others, and it was set up basically for propaganda. And the same with the social media, Facebook, now called Meta. And we think that's like metadata, you see, that's being accumulated on all of you. And we know that things are progressing. We've had another report in a senior living center, one of these large, large congregate ones, that HUD came in, and they were checking a lot of things online. They were checking people's individual apartments. They were going in, and they were commenting on the status of it, I guess, how clean it was, how this or that. But if you don't think Big Brother is designing new ways in 2024 to intrude on your privacy and put a chokehold on you, then you're not like the prudent man in Proverbs. And again, we do give thanks to God Almighty for his wisdom in Lou's case, that it didn't happen as quickly as we wanted it to, with x-rays and so forth and so on, that would have found those 6 stones. But we do know that an older surgeon who had conscientious motivations, when he found those stones and they wouldn't come out with lasers, not properly, he cut them painstakingly out. And we give thanks because we know that everything does work together for good, you know, to those who love the Lord. And we do know that some of our listeners still persist in believing that all physicians are evil and all medicine is evil. And we cannot go along with that. That's a distortion of God Almighty's power. And Lou, you pointed out, what did Jesus himself say about physicians?
Well, he said those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick are the ones that do.
And it was a little P on physician, wasn't it, in the Bible?
Right, and that would imply that there's nothing wrong with physicians.
And understand it would imply that he wasn't speaking just of himself.
Exactly.
Or he would have had the capital P. And you also pointed out that Luke was a beloved physician. He was a beloved disciple. So, you know, let's not tend toward letting Satan distort everything so that we turn good into evil and evil into good. And just the same as those people who persist in saying there is no good in Christmas, we point out those wonderful, sacred, reverent hymns like Silent Night. We point out the good that is still there at Christmas time, the good that our late friend Dr. Carl Sanders said made people softer and ready to hear the gospel. All of those things have to be in balance, and we need to be in constant prayer with the Lord to guide us so that we do not become off base in our thinking to the point that we see only ugliness, the ugliness of Satan, because if that's all we're going to see, then we're going to be part of it. And, you know, I said in my case personally, I felt lately that I was perhaps too critical and too grumbling about things and people, that later I realized how wonderful they had been, and I was ashamed. Well, when we replayed one of our old programs, and that was the Pockets, none of you ever comment on them. We hope that you enjoyed a little of that humor with Barbie Jones and Fatherland Security, because there were some hard points put in there. Even at that time, Barbie laughed because there were 300 men, ha 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 ha, on the border, you know, guarding the border back in the old, old days. But at any rate, we hope that you saw a little bit of truth in some of that. But on that old program, there it was. I mentioned again, and that's a long time ago now, that God had revealed to me that I was too critical sometimes. And it was a scriptural verse that said, stop pointing the finger. Now, we thought that was remarkable, that I had just been guided lately about that, and then to have that come back from the past. You see, if you're way off base, and you want to take certain scripture to prove your point, you'd better be very careful. That's not too far from Thomas Jefferson cutting out parts of the Bible. If you want to insist on your agenda, you'd better be careful that it is the agenda of our Heavenly Father, the wise ruler, the omnipotent ruler, the omniscient ruler of the entire universe. Now, none of us have all the answers. We never know that we will. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, he will guide us. Now, with that, Lou, let's pick up where we're going.
All right. Tonight's and tomorrow night's programs that will be heard on WWCR Wednesday and Thursday, January 24th and 25th.
And Wednesdays on 5980 35.
That's right.
I have it wrong, don't I?
Let me stop and think. I think you have it right, don't you? 5935
yes.
Megahertz. And then Thursday at 4840.
Right, and then Saturday, 7490.
That's right. Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time.
And now the 5935 is a little earlier, so that is 7 o'clock Eastern time.
That's right. And the Thursday program is at 8 p.m.
That's right, and then 8 a.m. on Saturday. All right, Lou?
All right. Well, now, the title for both this program and the one we record tomorrow night that will appear Wednesday and Thursday, those two programs, January News Blitz, NWO Jerks, More Jeopardy. But before we get down to the serious thoughts, it's always good to have a little humor. And listener Dennis sent us a little joke that I'll pass on to you. Confucius say, dog who chases car gets exhausted. And now we'll move on to the serious news, the News Blitz. January NWO Jerks. Well, God is gone, kaput. First, it looks like that from Gateway Pundit. Breaking, godless Biden regime flagged Americans who shopped at Dick's, Cabela's, or who bought Christian Bibles. This is by Jim Hoft, January 17th, 2024. Biden regime asked banks to surveil private transactions for terms like MAGA or Trump following J6, January 6th, and flagged purchases at Dick's or Cabela's. This is a direct violation of the U.S. Constitution. The House Weaponization Committee reported on Wednesday night that the Biden regime was targeting Americans who were shopping at Cabela's, and Dick's Sporting Goods, and those Americans who may have recently bought a Bible. That is a shocking report. We are clearly witnessing the most godless, anti-Christian, anti-Christian regime in the United States' history. And now we move to LifeSite News. Shaman performs pagan ritual over World Economic Forum leaders at Davos Summit. A woman introduced as Chief Putani from the Yawanawar tribe of the Amazon did not disclose the meaning of the quote-unquote prayer and quote-unquote blessing she performed over some of the world's most powerful leaders. This article was by Emily Mangiaracina, Wednesday, January 17th. Dateline, Davos, Switzerland. Excuse me. An Amazonian shaman on Wednesday performed a pagan ritual over a panel after the members discussed climate and nature at the World Economic Forum 2024 meeting in Davos, Switzerland. After his discussion on how to, quote, enable a net zero, nature positive, unquote, future, a woman introduced as Chief Putani from the Yawanawa tribe of the Amazon gave a brief address asking for help in, quote, healing the planet, unquote. She presented herself as representing the voice of nature and the voice of the forest and concluded, quote, when we are all united in our hearts and thoughts, our Mother Earth will listen to us, unquote. She proceeded to engage in what appeared to be a pagan ritual blessing, rubbing her hands together and reciting a so-called prayer before blowing air on the head of each panelist. The panelists and Chief Putani then joined hands to the applause of their audience and received a standing ovation from a few individuals, most notably former Vice President and climate alarmist Al Gore. It was only relatively recently, in 2005, that women were permitted to undergo initiation as a spiritual leader or shaman of the Yawanawa. According to Vivijar, an online information resource on Brazil, the tribe believes that, quote, the shamans are guardians of the tribe's knowledge from medicine to arts, and they learn the magic secrets with the spirits, unquote. Another webpage devoted to the Yawanawa admits that, quote, shamanic power is ambivalent since it simultaneously enables the capacity to cure and to provoke illnesses, and that, quote, accusations of sorcery and poisoning among the Yawanawa occur both between and within groups, provoking periodic social tensions that may give rise to fissions, unquote. Publicly available information on the spirituality of the Yawanawa is relatively limited and tends to describe their religious rituals rather than the spiritual beliefs underlying such rituals. In a 2004 work entitled The Anthropology of Assault, Sorcery, and Witchcraft in Amazonia, Neil L. Whitehead and Robin Wright point out that, quote, given the self-improvement motivations that have been brought or that have brought so many into a popular understanding of shamanism, two defining aspects of shamanism in Amazonia, that is, blood or violence and tobacco, have simply been erased from such representations. The WEF does not officially endorse a particular religion or spirituality, but hosts, quote, ecumenical, unquote, panels during its annual meetings involving participants of different religions. Last year, a WEF speaker revealed during a Keeping the Faith panel discussion that he was told not to use the words God, faith, and religion during his talk. The panel participants in this year's Climate and Nature discussion included International Monetary Fund Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva, atmospheric scientist Catherine Hayho, Inca Group CEO Jesper Brodin, Andre Hoffman, the vice chairman of the drug company, Roche Holding, and World Bank Group President A.J. Banger.
And more comments from the Western Journal by Laura Wellington, January 18, 2024. World Economic Forum hosts disturbing pagan forest ritual on stage. Having watched an hour of the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, this week, I hardly see leaders. What I see is a bunch of egomaniacs on a mission to ruin our planet. I liken it to viewing the Golden Globes only for green activists. Disconnected from reality, completely believing that somehow they are going to take charge of our climate, just as they would saddle a horse. Hold your applause for their service to humanity, will you? The planet has yet to agree, nor has the Almighty responsible for creating it. Neither Klaus Schwab nor the rest of those attending seem to give any credence to this. They'd rather bet on a pagan spiritualist to bless their efforts to turn the world around than God himself. That's who they invited to join them. Chief Patani Yawanawa of Brazil's Yawanawa tribe was brought on stage to speak Wednesday, after which she performed a ritual in which she grabbed the heads of the assembled leaders and blew on them. The decision to leave God out of the event, focusing instead on his creation itself, is purposeful. In the organizers' and attendees' minds, they are beyond him, but not what he has given them. It is a story on repeat throughout history, somewhat laughable and inviting of significant correction. God has dealt with this type before, and he will again. They never win. This kind of behavior is the same as that described in Romans 1, verses 22 to 25. Quote, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Quote, and this is Putani's words, the message that I have to bring, the voice of all the people of the forest and us indigenous peoples, a voice of nature, the voice of the forest, to say the healing is within us, our spirituality, within an alliance, a union, the unity of our thoughts, she said through a translator. Quote, we count on you and ask your help, all the people, Putani continued, quote, so that we may unite, hold hands and unite our hearts, unite our thoughts in the same direction for healing of the planet, and the healing is spiritual. So I want to ask all the people that the forest, our forest, is our life. She is asking for help and asking that we may all be united in our hearts and in our thoughts. And when we are all united in our hearts and thoughts, our Mother Earth will listen to us. Thank you very much. She then performed her ritual, blowing atop the heads of World Bank President Ajay Banga and the others as they sat in awe, as if they had just been baptized. Putani then received a standing ovation. The elites were quite pleased with this display of nature worship.
Next we have by Andreas Welser, Thursday, January 18th from LifeSite News. Dateline, Davos, Switzerland again. Former U.S. Vice President Al Gore has compared climate change to the Book of Revelation in a talk about, quote, extreme weather, unquote, and natural disasters at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Al Gore compares climate change to the biblical apocalypse. Quote, every night on the television news is like a nature hike through the Book of Revelation, as I've said on previous occasions, unquote. Gore explained beforehand that using these images is essential to convey your message. During his speech, Al Gore explained that it is essential to use catastrophic images to, quote, convey the meaning of the climate crisis. He recalled that a computer scientist once said, quote, if you analyze the human brain in computer terms, you can say that we have a low bit rate, but very high resolution, unquote. The former vice president said that humans can process information better when seeing pictures instead of trying to remember facts. He stated, as you said, a picture is worth a thousand words, and a good contextualized story told in slides and pictures and maps can really convey a tremendous amount of information. He went on to say, using the best techniques for trying to convey the meaning of the crisis that we are facing is really an important task, unquote. In an apparent attempt to ramp up the climate scare, Gore compared the heat trapping of carbon dioxide to the potential heat release by atomic bombs. Gore said, we're putting 162 million tons of man-made global warming pollution into the sky today, as we do every day.
Oh, there goes Gore's big jet!
Oh, yes. He,
even as
he
you're
does
reading
his part,
too.
Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he went on to say, in the accumulated amount today traps as much extra heat in the Earth's system as would be released by 750,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding on the Earth every 24 hours, every day, every year, unquote. However, Gore claimed that if we, quote, transition away from fossil fuels and get to true net zero, temperatures on the Earth will stop going up almost immediately, unquote. And it lists below this a few related articles, that also I'm sure at LifeSite News. One is the inconvenient truth about the scientific consensus on climate change. Another?
And,
yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Another one, climate scientists baffled as to why Antarctica has not warmed in 70 years, despite rising CO2 levels. Still another, Nobel Prize winner denounces alarmist climate predictions. He says, I don't believe there is a climate crisis. And the fourth and last one, renowned climate scientist blasts anti-capitalist climate agenda, manufactured consensus.
And there's more about Davos and the de-emphasis on God, the God of the Bible. This one came from LifeSite News, Michael Haynes, Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. Pope Francis praises Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, in message sent to 2024 Davos Summit. Pope Francis did not mention Christ in his message, but instead highlighted the role of the World Economic Forum in the world's future. Vatican City, LifeSite News. Pope Francis has sent a message of praise to the World Economic Forum and its founder, Klaus Schwab, writing that the group's annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland is an, quote, important opportunity, end of quote, in the wider attempt, quote, to explore innovative and effective ways to build a better world. It is my hope, then, that the participants in this year's forum will be mindful of the moral responsibility that each of us has in the fight against poverty, the attainment of an integral development for all our brothers and sisters, and the quest for a peaceful coexistence among peoples, wrote Francis. His words came as part of a message sent to the World Economic Forum's annual meeting, addressed to WEF founder and key globalist Klaus Schwab. From January 15th through 19th, the WEF's annual meeting was being held as normal in the Swiss ski resort of Davos. Francis spoke of the sufferings of war, along with a need to address the, quote, injustices that are the root causes of conflict, end of quote. Among such injustices, Francis named, quote, hunger, the, quote, exploitation of natural resources, end of quote, along with the, quote, exploitation, end of quote, of people, quote, forced to work for low wages, end of quote. Additionally, he made mention of a, quote, fundamentally moral aspect of the current, quote, process of globalization, end of quote, which is currently underway, which aims to, quote, shape the future of international community, end of quote, Francis stated. The process of globalization, which has by now clearly demonstrated the interdependence of the world's nations and peoples, thus has a fundamentally moral dimension, which must make itself felt in the economic, cultural, political, and religious discussions that aim to shape the future of the international community. While not promoting faith or religion as an answer in society's current crises, Pope Francis called on nations and businesses to promote, quote, far-sighted and ethically sound models of globalization, end of quote. This would put, quote, power at the service of, quote, the common good of our human family, giving priority to the poor, the needy, and those in the most vulnerable situations, he said. Urging businesses to practice, quote, high ethical standards, end of quote, Francis also issued a call for nations to play a new role in international political development, quote, at the same time, there is an evident need for international political action that, through the adoption of coordinated measures, can effectively pursue the goals of global peace and authentic development, end of quote. This international endeavor would involve the, quote, control of aspects of the financial sphere, he wrote, drawing from the themes contained in Schwab's own, quote, Great Reset agenda. Now, I'm going to interrupt here. This is Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly. Lou, we can read between the lines. We can see that there will be a push for the World Health Organization pandemic treaty to get all the nations in there under that control. There'll be a push for other forms of globalization, yet probably to be announced to us. And there will be a change in the money if Francis has his way, Pope Francis. They will get the central bank digital currency agenda moving. So you see, we're heading toward the one world government, but it's really the one world religion, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think the leaders of the world, the bad ones, you might say, they know very well that if you can have just one religion, it'll be easy to get the people to follow whatever they tell. Whereas now, with a large part of the world Christian, a large part Islam, a large part Judaism, and various other lesser religions, Hinduism and so forth, there are bound to be differences.
That's an excellent point, because we know that the God of the Bible loves us as individuals. Think of personalities of David, Ruth, Boaz, the one that Ruth was following her. Was that Naomi, her mother-in-law?
Yeah.
You know, all of these people stand at Goliath, little David, young David with the slingshot. All of these are dear to God's heart because he gave us our individual personalities. And, you know, when we look at the severe deficiency in the New Age theology, the idea that when we die, our souls will just all become sparks going back into one great big whole, one big spiritual circle. In other words, you, Lou, me, Elizabeth, we won't be Lou, we won't be Elizabeth anymore. We'll just be merged. And that's a kind of annihilation to the human spirit, to our individual selves. And God abhors this. So, yes, the one world government is the one world religion. And remember how the newer Bible versions are replacing the wording of Jesus as God's Son and our Savior with the chosen one, the one. So when the Antichrist comes, or perhaps his clerical representation person, we're going to have that nomenclature, probably the one. So you've pointed out something very interesting there. Now, getting back to this LifeSite article, it also said that it would involve the control. And that you pointed out so well there, Lou, the control over the religion. And in the financial aspects, we've heard again and again some of these most prominent economists say that if we get to the central bank digital currency and it's imposed on all of us, we will have absolutely no chance of freedom. So we must stand against that and keep using cash. Now, the article says, in particular, it is important that intergovernmental structures be able effectively to exercise their functions of control and guidance in the economic sector. And now, I think these are words, again, it should be in quotes from Pope Francis, and they aren't here. Since the achievement of the common good is an objective beyond the reach of individual states, even those that are dominant in terms of power, wealth, and political strength. In other words, there's a put-down to nationalism, isn't there, Lou?
Yes, that's right. once again, if you have one big government throughout the world, easy to control the people. And separate governments can have separate beliefs. That's not so easy to put under one thumb.
Yes, and there's friction that comes between nations. Sometimes that ensures the continuation of the individual freedoms and customs and of the nation states. Now, it also says in this article, the Pope's address was strongly criticized by former nuncio to the U.S., Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, who wrote that, quote, Bergoglio explicitly supports the globalist coup and actively cooperates in the establishment of the New World Order. What more is needed to understand that the words of Leo the 13th have come true? And Vigano's words on the January 17th, that message included also this statement. In Davos, the masters and servants of the globalist elite gather. Characters who openly declare that they want to reduce the world's population through wars, famines, and organized pestilence. Characters who use the complicity of our rulers and international institutions. Pope Francis's listing of the current societal crises in his World Economic Forum letter notably made no mention of abortion. However, as LifeSite News has extensively reported, the WEF meetings have highlighted how, quote, access to abortion is a key issue. A moderator at one of last year's sessions also spoke about the WEF's Women's Health Initiative, a project by the globalist organization that also pushes abortion and contraception under the guise of, quote, reproductive health. The initiative aims, among other things, to reduce, quote, unintended pregnancies and unsafe pregnancies. However, the Pope's avoidance of giving a clear condemnation of such moral evils promoted by the WEF is less surprising, given his long-standing relationship with the globalist organization. The Vatican has a close, although little known, relationship with the WEF, the World Economic Forum.
Pope Francis has signaled his intimacy with the WEF's Klaus Schwab by sending an address to the WEF now five times in his 10-year pontificate and allowing an annual Vatican roundtable at the Davos-based annual conference. In a 2021 interview with Vatican News, local Davos parish priest Father Kurt Suzak revealed that Francis had been personally invited by Schwab for the event's 50th anniversary, though Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin had gone in the pontiff's place. Quote, I really had to be positively surprised at how much interest there is in the church at the WEF. For example, there was a meeting called Vatican Meets WEF, and there I experienced great interest from all over the world, Suzak stated in 2021. Indeed, Pope Francis's actions and public interests align closely with Schwab and the globalist elites and the WEF. Back in December 2020, Francis used the phrase, Build Back Better, the slogan synonymous with global policies. The phrase was the name of Joe Biden's website after the election, buildbackbetter.gov, on which he claimed to be, quote, restoring American leadership, unquote. Shortly after that, Francis joined with companies across the globe to promote a new, quote, economic system, unquote, of capitalism in line with its sustainable development goals, despite their link to abortion, and his own call for simple, austere living. This was then followed up by a partnership between the Vatican and the UN, in which the Pope once again showed his globalist tendencies by promoting education about, quote, sustainable lifestyles, gender equality, and global citizenship, unquote, yet avoiding any mention of the Catholic faith. Then, in a 2021 address to the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, Francis echoed the sentiments expressed by Schwab. Schwab's proposed anti-Catholic Great Reset is underpinned by a focus on a supposedly green financial agenda, the, quote, withdrawal of fossil fuel subsidies, unquote, and a new financial system based on, quote, investments, unquote, which advance equality and sustainability, and the building of a, quote, green urban infrastructure.
And Lou, I have to interject.
Yes.
There was another headline. We thought it seemed so outlandish. January 4th, from the People's Voice. WHO, and now that's the World Health Organization, orders governments to outlaw farming worldwide to save the planet. So, you see, they're all in conjunction, in cahoots with this, to take away the people's food, to depopulate, to starve us. Go ahead.
Indeed, at the 2022 delayed Davos meeting, a Vatican official declared that the Catholic Church is, quote, committed to the various issues considered at the forum, unquote, citing Pope Francis's Laudato Si and Fratelli Tutti as examples of how the Catholic Church was adhering to the globalist agenda on particular aspects. And now we move to something a little different and yet still related. The following news should give Al Gore and all the other Davos Great Reset crowd huge nightmares this January, considering the subterranean temperatures. Again, from LifeSite News, extreme cold turns electric vehicle charging stations into car graveyards in Chicago.
Ooh.
This was by Ashley Sadler, Wednesday, January 17th, Dateline Chicago. Electric vehicles have been rendered immobile in Chicago as frigid winter temperatures blast the upper Midwest. The news came as proponents of the climate change agenda push for a switch toward electric and away from traditional combustion engine vehicles. Quote, public charging stations have turned into car graveyards over the past couple of days, unquote. Fox 32 Chicago reported, as the Prairie State endures intense winter weather that has sent temperatures dipping below 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And it mentions a related article that says wind, solar power nearly leave Alberta, Canada, without electricity as temperatures drop below negative or minus 40. Going on with this article, Fox 32 reported that dozens of Tesla owners were, quote, trying desperately to power up their cars at the Tesla supercharging station in Oak Brook, unquote, a suburb of Chicago. The quote goes on, long lines and abandoned cars, unquote, were observable at scores of other charging stations around the Chicago area, unquote. While a local automotive expert informed the outlet that some of the problem redounds to the user error and that electric vehicle owners need to, quote, precondition the battery up to the optimal temperature to accept a fast charge, unquote, when contending with freezing conditions, the issue does point to some of the problems with switching from traditional fossil-based fuel vehicles, that is, fossil fuel-based vehicles, and toward electric cars. This is Lou speaking. As I read that, I thought to myself, how do you precondition a battery like that? I wonder if they give you a little guidebook when they give you the car to explain that. But going on now, additional complications posed by a switch to EVs include currently limited availability of EV charging stations, high vehicle prices, and extraneous costs related to the cars. While proponents of the vehicles tout lower overall operating costs, an analysis last year from the Texas Public Policy Foundation found that total costs to power an electric vehicle amount to an equivalent of about $17.33 per gallon for a traditional car. The electric vehicle advocates say the equivalent cost is more like $1.21 per gallon, but Center Square reported that the study authors argue that estimates exclude the real costs borne by taxpayers for subsidies, utility ratepayers for energy investments, and non-electric vehicle owners for mandate and environmental credit-driven higher vehicle costs, which they say total $48,698 per EV. This is Lou again. That's out of my range. Unless they get that cost down, I don't think I'll be buying one of those. But back to the article. Regardless, the push to trade out traditional vehicles for electric cars has ramped up in recent years and continues apace. In October 2022, the European Union struck a deal to ban the sale of new combustion engine vehicles in the 27-country bloc by 2035. The report came after the U.S. states of California and New York already moved to halt new sales of fossil fuel-reliant cars and trucks by that same deadline, with over a dozen other states expected to follow suit. Fit for 55, also known as the European Green Deal, will drastically reduce and then effectively ban the sale of new gas-powered cars by aiming to slash greenhouse gas emissions by 55% by 2030 and 100% by 2035, Euronews reported in late October. Left-leaning states in the U.S. had preempted some of Europe's green energy maneuvers by opting to phase out combustion engine vehicles by 2035, even before the approval of Fit for 55. In addition to instituting a plan to phase out traditional cars and trucks, California even moved to outlaw sales of personal gas-powered heaters, despite the state's struggles to keep its electric grid functioning, thanks to outdated infrastructure, inefficiently offset by less reliant so-called clean energy sources like wind and solar. And here we have a quote from the governor, Gavin Newsom. "This is the most impactful step our state can take to fight climate change," Newsom said in a press statement, arguing that gas-powered cars pollute the air, contribute to asthma, make wildfires worse, and, quote, "melt glaciers or raise sea levels, threatening our cherished beaches and coastlines," unquote. New York also flipped the kill switch on future combustion engine vehicles or vehicle sales in September 2022. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul ordered the State Department of Environmental Conservation, quote, "to take major regulatory action that will require all new passenger cars, pickup trucks, and SUVs sold in New York State to be zero emissions by 2035.
Oh, Lou, it won't stop there. It won't stop till they have us in the 15-minute cities and we're on that little square up in that big, tall, high-rise cement building, and a few bicycles are down in a small corridor in which you might be allowed, if you sign in once in a while, to take a bicycle out.
Maybe a scooter, too. You might be able to take a scooter. Not one with a motor in it.
No, no.
Just one that you use your foot to paddle. But finishing up, the shift to clean energy, and that's in quotes, clean energy, exemplified in California, New York, and Europe, has been a central plank of the global left-wing climate agenda and a major component of the WEF's Great Reset, which seeks to push the reset button on the global economy and reimagine capitalism. And again, this is Lou. I don't think, quote, reimagining capitalism, as publicly stated here, is going to charge up your car in the midst of a frosty city. And it's not too swift, though.
Yes, you are so right. And now, you know, listeners, you're not getting this news on Fox and CNBC, other places, CNN. And if you value the news program, The Divided Kingdom, we ask for your help, and the contact address is Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609, and we will accept a little cash. We will accept money orders or checks, and you can write them out to either WWCR or Global Star Communications. And some of you, we're asking you to think about who you will share our new book, COVID and Coming Chaos, with. What people will value it and not just trash it? And we hope to hear from some more of you. And now we move right on to the Gateway Pundit. And this was January 18th. This was a guest contributor, Leo Homan. "Elections will soon be a quaint relic of the past," says globalist Klaus Schwab. Elections will soon be a quaint relic of the past, says globalist Klaus Schwab, who points to AI. And of course, that's artificial intelligence, listeners, as the coming king of democracy. And again, we note that we're just getting this democracy. All this brainwashing continues that we talked about with Angeline Marie on our last program about her book, Soulless Society. And we talked about some of our leaders. I believe even Harry Truman pushed this idea that we are a democracy. No, we're a constitutional republic. So anyway, back to Leo Hohmann. World Economic Forum founder and chairman Klaus Schwab showed his true Nazi colors today at Davos, saying that nations will soon no longer need to bother holding, quote, elections, because voters could easily be replaced by artificial intelligence. AI is more than capable, he said. Schwab made the bone-chilling comments during a WEF interview with Google co-founder Sergey Brin, which was posted to X by Ezra Levant of Rebel News. One thing about technocratic globalists, they aren't bashful. They speak boastfully as if everyone shares their excitement about all of the death and dehumanization of the world they envision. During the discussion, Schwab and Brin were discussing, quote, digital technologies, end of quote, such as AI, and how they could be used to advance the WEF's globalist agenda. So technology now and digital technology mainly have an analytical power, Schwab said, as Brin shook his head in the affirmative. Now we go into predictive power, and we have seen the first examples. Your company is very much involved in it, Schwab said, as if to give the little boy Wonder from Google a fatherly pat on the back. Schwab then came with the globalist goods, making a stunning comment that will no doubt be buried by the mainstream media and Google search engines. Schwab said, quote, the next step for digital technology would be to replace voters with AI. But then the next step could be to go into prescriptive mode, which means you do not even have to have elections anymore because you can already predict, he said. And afterwards you can say, why do we need elections? Because we know what the result will be. Western politicians who routinely boast about, quote, defending our democracy and human dignity are over there fawning in front of the anti-human Nazi Klaus Schwab. They could care less about freedom. Just follow the money. That's what Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia and the rest of the American dirtbag politicians are over there doing. And I think, Lou, we now go to you.
All right. Next, from December 28th, 2023, globalists program us to expect heart failure pandemic in 2024 caused by new strain of COVID, though a horrific number of deaths and heart failures caused by the vax have been proven. This is by Stephen Stanford, and it came from allnewspipeline.com. While 2023 is finally and thankfully coming to a rapid end, a new story has come out from globalist mouthpiece CNN, giving us a taste of what's to come if the globalists get their way. Titled, How 2023 Has Been the Year of the Brink and 2024 Could Be Worse, the story doesn't hold back, warning, quote, 2024 could make 2023 seem rational and sober, unquote.
And let me interrupt, Lou, again,
yes.
That we are so grateful to God Almighty for allowing us now to have two nights a week on the radio, because there's so much more that you haven't heard tonight. That is this Jeopardy, these NWO jerks, what they plan, what they were talking about there at Davos. And we will be getting into many more details of some ominous things, of future pandemics, for example, things that may be right around the horizon. And tomorrow night, you won't want to miss tuning in again to our program. And so let's go ahead, Lou, there.
Warning that holding back from the brink in 2023 has simply deferred vast crises to 2024, their story immediately spoke of a post-COVID world. That was CNN they're talking about. Although if you look at this new story over at MSN, that ANP reader Oki had linked to had linked to in our breaking news section Thursday morning, you'll see that doctors are now speaking of a new COVID strain they call JN1, confirming we must be living in some special kind of post-COVID world when what they call new strains of COVID keep emerging. And as that alarming MSN story warns of this new strain, its special health afflictions is doctors fear new COVID strain could trigger heart failure pandemic across the globe. Once again, attempting to cover up their own mass murder spree, with independent media reporting for quite some time about the alarming number of mysterious heart failures happening all across the planet, post-vax, the MSN story is trying to misinform those who still get their news from the mainstream media, preparing them for a heart failure pandemic being caused by JN1, though anyone who gets their news from the independent media knows these massive numbers of heart failures seen all across the planet are vaxxed caused. Excuse me. And then we have Bill Gates. U.S. citizens must accept digital ID by 2028 or face, quote, exclusion from society, unquote.
And Lou, again, we point back to that excellent interview with Angeline Marie, and she said that her long research has begun to show that most of these techie boy wonders just come out of nowhere, that they have sort of been set up to be there as figureheads, really, for the Defense Department, for DARPA, for the CIA, for the shadow government that wants to control all of us. And so Bill Gates is one of those shadowy figures. And we also recall how Bill Gates Sr., who I believe was the head of Planned Parenthood. So what is Bill telling us now? Give us that headline again.
Yes. He's saying U.S. citizens must accept digital ID by 2028 or face what he calls exclusion from society. This was from the peoplesvoice.tv, December 17th, 2023, by Baxter Dimitri. Globalist billionaire Bill Gates has warned U.S. citizens that they must comply with compulsory new digital ID technology by 2028 at the latest or face exclusion from society. The United Nations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and partners of the Rockefeller Foundation have announced the launch of the 50 in 5, that's its name, 50 in 5 initiative to expedite the rollout of digital ID, digital payments, and data sharing in 50 fast mover, that's in quotes, fast mover countries within the framework of digital public infrastructure, DPI, by 2028. If successful, Gates' digital ID platform will grant globalist corporations the authority to establish social credit score systems determining travel permissions, consumption allowances, and transactional capabilities with programmable money. This could include individual carbon footprint tracking, ultra-low emission zones, and CBDC programming aimed at restricting, quote, less desirable, unquote, purchases.
Now, this relates right back to those innuendos that you opened the program with about the Biden regime going after those who were getting Bibles.
Oh, yes.
And going to Cabela's.
And I'll insert that if this were to take effect, if you want to go onto Amazon and buy a book, you better make sure it's approved by the powers that be.
If your social credit score rating even allows you to go on to Amazon.
That's right. And if you haven't used up too many of your carbon allowances, et cetera, et cetera.
And if you're a dissident, forget all of it.
Yeah, forget that. You'll be probably starved out. But going on now, it says that all these goals align with the goals of the Great Reset, as advocated by its globalist cheerleaders. Through a virtual launch event scheduled for November 8th, the 50 in 5 agenda is presented as a, quote, country-led advocacy campaign, unquote. By 2028, the campaign aims to assist 50 countries in conceptualizing, launching, and expanding elements of their digital public infrastructure, as per the official announcement. Touted as a means for financial inclusion, convenience, enhanced health care, and environmental progress, DPI, and again that's digital public infrastructure, encompasses digital ID, digital payments such as central bank digital currencies or CBDCs, and extensive data sharing, forming the foundation of a looming technocratic governance system. In other words, that could be, and this is Lou speaking, that could be the beast system predicted in Revelation. Back to the article, the 50 and 5 campaign is a collaboration between the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the UN Development Program, the Digital Public Goods Alliance, and CoDevelop. CoDevelop was founded by the Rockefeller Foundation, and guess who? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Nilekani Philanthropies, and the Amadaya Network. The Digital Public Goods Alliance lists both the Gates and Rockefeller Foundations in its roadmap showcasing activities, and this is in quotes, activities that advance digital public goods, unquote, along with other organizations and several governments.
Is that it for that article?
That's it for that one.
That's very, very interesting. And there was that phrase in there. It was a technocracy that was being developed. It's a technocracy of control of every part of our lives. And until we don't have the Internet of Things, we've heard this, we have the Internet of Bodies. And it's getting pretty perilous. So we stand by our topics nomenclature tonight about the January jerks and the Jeopardy. Now, tomorrow night we get into the illegals, the illegal immigrants, and a lot more about future plandemics. What are they going to do? And a lot more statistics about what's going on with these poor people who took the COVID shots. There's so much you don't want to miss. So again, if you can help us out, send what you can to Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we give thanks to Almighty God for his healing and his mercy to Lou and to many of us. And we pray for all of you out there, some of you struggling in winter conditions with not much to help you. We pray that God will bless you and increase your resources. Good night. Thank you.